Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hold on, man. What are we doing out there? What are we doing out there, huh?
Playing football?
Okay, yeah. That's it, man. Playing football, yeah?
It is Sports Radio. WEI, it's hour number 3 of late night right here. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And to the texter that says, Patrick, I hate to tell you this. This is not about big government. It's all about brain injuries and public safety. Football, as we know it, is going to eventually be part of the past. It is dangerous and will eventually, bit by bit, be phased out state by state. I hate to tell you. And by the way, your quote-unquote tough guy act does not become you. I don't mind anything you said in there, because the fact is this. We don't have all the evidence. What I do know is this. For every study, like the one that Reamer cited in his article today on EEI.com, there is another study that contradicts a lot of the information in there. I do know that as a person that grew up playing youth sports, including a couple of years of football at a very low level, I think it's very important. And that's why I make sure that my kids play. But to your comment there about my tough guy act, this isn't about being tough. It's not about toughing it up, you know, biting your bottom lip and making it through. That's not what I'm talking about here. My problem here is not with the choice that some parents make to withhold their children from playing tackle football. My problem is with the state jumping in and saying, we're going to make this decision for you. It's not a decision for the state to make. It's just not. Look, there's been tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that have played youth football and come through just fine. And while the study that I just read cited that they don't have all the information, they do have years and years and years of statistical data that they can prove out. And they prove that for every 1,000, essentially, incidents that somebody has, there's 1 to 1.5 concussions. That's it. All right, so we're talking about 1 to 1.5 per 1,000. It's not a lot, and it's no different when you look at those numbers. They're comparable to lacrosse. They're comparable to soccer. Soccer's are actually a little bit higher. The reason why football gets the headlines is because of CTE and everything that's happening at a collegiate and professional level. That is a different conversation, a different story for a different day. We're talking about youth sports. You know, these kids aren't all that strong. They don't weigh all that much. And yeah, you know what? When they have a helmet-to-helmet hit, they're in danger of getting a concussion. But how is that any different than when you're defending somebody in the post playing basketball and you throw an elbow or you catch an elbow to the back of the head? You get a concussion that way too. You know, these things happen. My son plays flag football. He lost 2 front adult teeth at 8 years old. His face literally will never be the same again playing flag football. So you cannot tell me that we know everything that we're talking about here. This is just about Massachusetts doing what Massachusetts does, grabbing headlines and going to extremes. And you know, to the caller earlier that sort of called me out for what I said when I said that in Massachusetts, they want to be the only state where you can, you know, walk through a park smoking a blunt or lighting up your marijuana, doing whatever you're doing, but you can't play tackle football, and you called me out and you said, well, that's not really true. It is true because they did decriminalize it. So, no, you're not supposed to do it out there in public, but you're not going to get arrested. It's the equivalent of getting a ticket for speeding. That's what it is. So plenty of people do it up and down the state. I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it. And more often than not, they're not getting a ticket, and they're certainly not getting arrested because it is decriminalized. And I just find it ironic that, you know, we're legalizing drugs. And by the way, I like that. I do. I've told you guys on this show numerous times the value of legalizing marijuana. Now, I have it legally prescribed to me in New Hampshire. We don't have the dispensaries like they do in Massachusetts. We need to have a prescription card in New Hampshire to get your marijuana. But it has been nothing short of miraculous for my Crohn's disease. So I'm not here to tell you that there's something wrong with it. It's just Massachusetts tends to go to extremes. And with this, there's limited information. And I don't feel comfortable with the state reaching into my home and telling me how to raise my children. There's a time and a place for that conversation, and the only people involved should be myself, my wife, my kid, and any other parents that we choose to bring into that conversation because we value their opinions. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew's in Haverhill. Andrew, you're next up here on WEEI.
Patrick, I'm hot right now.
Let's do it.
I want to talk about two quick things, about the U Sports thing, but mainly about the Bruins and the Celtics.
Yeah.
The U Sports thing. My dad told me, like, I was a hockey kid growing up. That was the main sport I played when I was little. I wanted to play football, and he told me that's going to be too much. He was like, it's going to be too much hitting. It's going to be too much for you as a kid growing up. He's like, that's going to be way too much for you. When you're looking at U Sports, have your kid play one contact sport. That's enough. That's what my father told me. He said, hockey's enough for you. You're not playing another contact sport. I think that is what it should be for U Sports. Play one contact sport, that's it.
But, Andrew, the beauty there is your dad, and I don't know if your mom was involved, but your dad and you had a conversation.
My mother was involved.
Okay, so you guys as a family, you made a decision that was right for you. The risk was too high for you to play two, you know, contact sports. They didn't want to put you through that. And guess what? That was a family decision that you guys made, and it worked out for you. I love that.
Absolutely. And it's because we were a hockey family. My dad was my hockey coach, and he said, I want you focused on hockey. Football will be too much. And I think hits were in the back room like of his decision, but I think hits at like how many hits I would take was a part of that factor, which I would think that was a part of his decision making. That would be too many hits as a kid. Have your kid play one contact sport. That's my point on that. Can I make one quick point on the Bruins and the Celtics too?
It's late night. Take your time, man.
Okay, so you know, I'm a hockey fan more than anything. That's a sport I grew up with. But I think when you see these two teams play, the Bruins and the Celtics, I love the moves that the Bruins made at the deadline, because I don't think if they acquired a Mark Stone or an Artemi Panarin that it would have put the Bruins over the top against a team like Tampa. So I love the moves that they make with Marcus Johansson and Charlie Coyle and how it upgraded their depth. But when you look at these two teams, you look at the Bruins and you look at how great of a locker room they have. They love playing with each other. They love playing as a team. They look like they have a lot of fun, and they're a fun team to watch. And then you look at the Celtics, and my God, is it the exact opposite? They don't look like they're having fun. And it is just the exact opposite with the Bruins. And thank God I'm a hockey guy, because we're looking forward to a damn good spring with the Bruins. Can they beat Tampa? I don't know. But I can't wait for the Bruins playoffs, and thank God I'm more of a hockey guy. That's all I got.
364 Andrew, more days till next year's hockey draft.
I appreciate the phone call. Yeah. It's, you know, he's right. And the Bruins, I'm not a big hockey guy, but I found myself watching a couple of Bruins games in their entirety this week, and I very rarely do that. And they remind me of the same energy level that the Celtics brought the last couple of years under Brad Stevens. And this year, the Celtics just look lethargic. They look like they're just going out there trying to get through their 48 minutes and call it a night. They look like a team that cannot wait for this season to end. And by the way, can I just give a little bit of programming advice to NBC Sports Boston here? I know typically, and I used to embrace this, so what they typically do is they'll have their Celtics game come on, then they'll run through Celtics post game, then they'll have their Sports Tonight show, and then at midnight they'll do Celtics in two, and they'll replay the Celtics game, and they're doing it right now. So can we stop doing that, NBC Sports Boston? There is no reason whatsoever to replay this garbage, not once but twice. Seeing it once is good enough for me, and I highly doubt that their audience here for replay number two is a growing audience. Nobody wants to punish themselves twice watching the disgusting product that this team continues to put out on the basketball court. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the phone calls. Let's go to Tom. Tom's in Marlboro. Tom, you're next up here on WEEI.
Three quick points. Number one, if you're driving outside right now, it is deceivingly slippery out there, so be very careful. I slid through an intersection myself, so be careful out there.
I got a long ride home from Boston and Hampshire, so thank you.
Point number two. So obviously, Massachusetts is a lovely state. We're the state that, like you were talking about before, lets people take their opioids, right?
Yep.
And doesn't put you in jail after you're caught doing opioids. Instead, they say, okay, we'll try and help you out and give you Narcan. And say, all right, you messed up. Let's move on with our lives. So that's the kind of state that we're talking about. They don't punish people. They just provide them with an out.
Yep.
And then point number three, the media and the news and all these studies, they always act like the guy on the other side of the ball with these kids is Gronk. Not another, like, 10-year-old. You got a 10-year-old body against a 10-year-old body, a 50-60-pound kid against a 50-60-pound kid, not Rob Gronkowski mowing down your freaking kid.
Yep. It's unbelievable. Look, my son's 8 years old. My son is 8 years old, right? And well, we have fun together. But when he tries to punch me in the gut or he'll punch me in the arm, and he hurts his hand. I'm not a big guy. I'm not big and muscular. I'm 6 foot tall, 210 pounds. I'm probably more soft than I am muscular. But he's a little kid. He punches me and he gets hurt. You know what I mean? So you're right. It's not Gronk on the other side. It's two young kids.
Yeah. And so, I mean, these are the same kids who you throw a snowball at their head and they cry a little bit, you know? So it's like, all right, well, be careful out there. Have a good night.
Tom, brother, I appreciate the phone call. And that's it right there. So I think that what Tom brings to the conversation is something that is desperately needed in this conversation. It's a little bit of common sense here as well. You know, Massachusetts is going to go through this whole issue. And if they pass this thing, they pass it. I'm just very, very, very uncomfortable with the idea that the state is going to once again find a reason to reach into our homes and dictate the way that we parent our children. They've already done enough of that. You know, they've already done enough damage with Common Core. They've already done enough damage with removing certain things from the public school system. And now they want to reach in and tell you what sports your kids can and cannot play. I'm very uncomfortable with that idea. You know, if you grow up in a football household and you want your kid to play, you can weigh the risks yourself, can't you? Aren't we intelligent enough people to weigh the risk and rewards and maybe have that conversation between yourself, your partner, your kid, and really make it a family group decision? And look, if your kid goes and he plays Pop Warner football and he gets concussed, guess what? The beauty is you can pull him out. Nobody's saying that you need to continue to go on with it. You know, you give the kid the opportunity. If the concussion scares him or scares the family, pull him out. Nobody's saying your kid at 8 years old, 9 years old, needs to be exposed to, you know, double-digit concussions. And once you sign up, it's not like the military. Well, once you sign up, there's no getting out. Like, no, that's not what this situation is. It's just Massachusetts doing what Massachusetts always does, and that is going somewhere where they do not belong because they have an inability to mind their own business. And I expect that for Massachusetts. What I don't expect is a kid like Reamer, who is intelligent, whether you like him or not. He's intelligent. He's likable. And politically, look, he and I are generally in agreement on things. But this, the fact that he writes this thing on WEEI.com, it's a bunch of hot garbage today. Don't compare this and your experience with playing adult flag football. It is completely different because right now what we're doing is we are forming the youth. And I feel like playing youth football, playing youth basketball, youth hockey, youth sports, whatever they are, whatever sport we decide to put our children in, A, it's a family decision, and B, I feel like it's a fundamental part of their growth. And flag football, good. You know what? You do learn some of that camaraderie, and that is very important. You do learn how to become a member of a team. That is very important. My son's played 3 years of flag football, and he will play it some more. But I do want to expose him to tackle football. I do, because I also want him to understand the value of toughening up a little bit. I feel like the youth in America today, that's one thing that they're missing. You know, we're very concerned about this, that, the other thing when it comes to raising our youth, much more so than we ever have been before. We're much more aware of things now than we ever have been before. But I also feel like the pussification of America continues, and that's why we've got a generation of kids that don't know how to lose and don't know how to be tough in situations where they need to at least show a smidge of toughness, because that's an important thing in life as well. You know, in the real world, I am a white-collar worker, all right? I'm a director of sales for a candy company. But it amazes me when we hire young kids, millennials, in their early 20s. They don't know how to go out there and work hard. They don't. They want a raise within a month. They want recognition within 3 months. They want to have the respect that comes with being the best within 3, 4, 5 months of getting a job, because they don't know what it's like to have to work for something, toughen up, put in your years, put in your time, and prove yourself, because they've never had to do that before. Everything's been handed to them on a silver platter. And guess what? Playing a little bit of tackle football as a kid goes a long way when it comes to teaching kids valuable lessons that hopefully they'll be able to draw on later on in life. That's not me being a tough guy. That is me being a parent. But guess what? I've got the ability to make that decision as a member of my household with my children. And I do not need the state reaching in where they do not belong. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the value of Pop Warner football, and should the state and should Alex Reamer reach into your house and tell you, no, 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 there'll be no tackle football in this household. Mimosas for all. Also, we'll continue talking about the Celtics and the pile of hut garbage that my favorite team has become. All that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing two discussions tonight, our Celtics discussion as they continue their free fall into the abyss. Is this season salvageable for your Boston Celtics? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel here for this team? Or is this eventually a team that is doomed to fail come playoff time? And are we looking at a team that is going to eventually break up anyways? So who really cares? And that's kind of the way that I'm trending here with this thing. After everything that went down at the trade deadline, all the rumors about Anthony Davis, some rumors coming out of the West Coast about Kevin Durant, you know, I think that we're facing a situation here where when you look at all the rumors surrounding the Celtics team and you combine those rumors with the facts, the rumors are, you know, we knew that the Pelicans were engaged with the Lakers for an Anthony Davis trade. And the Lakers threw a very good package out there. Like, their last package was nothing short of incredible. The Celtics own the trump card in the conversation, the trump card being Jason Tatum. Ultimately, the Celtics, they convinced the Pelicans to hold off on the trade with the Lakers. The only way that Danny Ainge was able to convince the Pelicans not to accept that Lakers haul was, I'm sure, to include a Jason Tatum as a potential part of the package. You combine that with the fact that the Celtics are going to have 3 first-round picks coming up in this year's draft, and while there isn't a tremendous amount of value that goes into these picks, there really isn't, because nobody really wants project players. The fact is, with first-round picks, they're guaranteed a roster spot, and they are guaranteed a contract. When you look at the youth of the Celtics team, and you look at Jason Tatum at, 21 years old, Jaylen Brown, 22 years old, Terry Rozier, 23 years old, Yabusele, early 20s, Semi Ojeleye, early 20s. You look at Robert Williams, 20 years old. You look at the youth of this team, and then you compare that youth with the expectations that are put on this team. This team is expected to be a finals team. The reason why Celtics fans aren't happy with a team that's 12 games over 500 is because this wasn't supposed to be another 50-win team. They were supposed to win 60+. They were supposed to contend to go to the NBA Finals. So the expectations are way out of whack when compared to what this team has done this season. But generally in the NBA, you can't win with a tremendous amount of youth. I just named 6 guys that are 22 or younger, and if you're going to add 3 more young guys to that roster, well, now that's 9 players on a team that only goes 11 or 12 deep. That's never going to happen. Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge want no part of a team that's got 9 players that are 22, 23, or younger. You can't have both. You can't be developing 9 guys while trying to win an NBA championship. So the only way to change that and the only way to refocus this team is to trade your youth, trade your young chips, trade your draft picks along with Tatum and Brown and Rozier and whatever else you're going to do, and bring yourself in an Anthony Davis. And if you strike out on Anthony Davis, try to execute a sign and trade with a Kevin Durant. I'm not sure the Celtics will do either, but I know that that's their plan A and that's their plan B. And it's going to be great tomorrow afternoon, 12 o'clock, on with Dale and Keefe. Danny Ainge is going to join them. And Danny's a guy that doesn't always give you the truth, but I promise you he will give these guys some nuggets, because there's no hiding the Celtics' problems now. Not even Danny Ainge, who is a master manipulator. And while I wouldn't call him a liar, He knows how to use his words very carefully to sort of control the narrative. There's no controlling this narrative with the Celtics right now. This team is spiraling, and the only way out is to start winning basketball games. But I don't see that in their future. When you look at having the Wizards coming up, that's a winnable game. But following the Wizards, if they don't win that game, we're talking about the Rockets and then the Warriors coming to town. This thing could get out of control and much uglier than it already is very, very quickly. So we're mixing in your Celtics thoughts as well as your continued conversation on Massachusetts trying to step in here and essentially outlaw tackle football for kids that are up to seventh grade. So once you hit seventh grade, you can tackle. But Pop Warner, out of here. It's going to be flag football for all in Massachusetts because this state is telling you how to parent. This state is telling me how to parent. This state feels like they are better parents to your children than you are. And to me, that's disgusting. To me, look, there are dangers in playing football. There are dangers in playing hockey. There are dangers in playing soccer. There are dangers in everything that we choose to do and everything that we choose to allow our children to do. The fact is, we shouldn't live our lives hamstrung and worried about all these dangers. And we shouldn't live our lives in a world where we don't feel confident in our ability to make smart decisions for our children. You know, the majority will dictate the way that this thing goes. So if CTE really continues to become this world-changing problem and this problem that spirals out of control, and the news continues to come out that CTE is caused by, you know, concussions and numerous concussions and blows to the head, and then they continue to tie that in and the dangers of that in with kids and their developing brains, guess what? Naturally, over the next 10 or 20 years, tackle football at that youth level is going to fade away all by itself. We don't need the state to reach in and tell us what to do. If enough evidence comes out over the next 20 years and kids continue to find themselves in unfortunate situations, and then we can actually pinpoint and blame one sport, if that becomes factual, then parents eventually, enough parents, will choose to withhold their children from that sport, and the sport will disappear. But we don't need Massachusetts stepping in right now and telling you how to parent and telling me how to parent. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones. We'll go. Let's go to Tim. Tim's in Attleboro. Tim, thanks for holding on tonight, man.
Hey, how you doing, Patrick?
Good, Tim. What's on your mind?
I like the word you used earlier, but I will not repeat it because I don't want to get cut off. But I would like to say that, you know, this thing, this law, hopefully if it does get passed, we can get a referendum and have it overruled. And then they'll probably overrule us like the Mass House usually does because they're a bunch of lefty loony liberals. And the thing is that I think is wrecking it is insurance companies. I mean, if you have two kids running on the fields, picture two kids running on the fields, seven years old with a big helmet, and they run into each other. They don't see each other. Their helmets collide. And then one mother's or father's up in the stands and says, oh, look at Johnny. They just hit their heads hard. Then a week later, he takes a math test. He fails it. And it's like, oh, that must have been from when he collided his head. But the whole thing is, I think it's a insurance grab, insurance companies trying to stop this from, they want to like shut it down. They want to stop kickoffs in football. The thing is, I mean, come on. And there's football players like Junior Seau that played for decades. Okay. That has an Aaron Hernandez who played for a few years with the Patriots. They want to blame that when he played in college and stuff. But I just want to say to you that you look at, and I'm not going to say names, but there's players on your station that just came on the station and on different stations that had a cup of coffee in the NFL, right? They played two or three years, no longer could play. All of a sudden, since this big suit has come on, they played for like 1 to 2 years. All of a sudden, they're signed on since they're not in the NFL anymore. So to me, it's a money grab. I mean, it's like, I played youth football and I used to be in mosh pits, whack my head around and stuff. And I have a high tech job, and it's sickening. Like the kids, What are you going to do with kids in soccer? They don't wear helmets.
Nope.
They spike the ball. They hit their heads. Okay, and kick the ball. And now they want to, like, the at least the kids at that age are protected by their helmets. So,
well, you're right about that. And Tim, it's a great phone call. And that's what I brought up earlier, whether it's soccer where you don't wear helmets. And thankfully, there are helmets in hockey and in lacrosse. But something like my daughter's sport, you know, she twirls a baton. And 2 years ago, the baton came down and hit her in the eye. She had a massive black eye. And then last year, the baton came down and hit her in her front tooth. And, you know, she had a huge chip in her front tooth. And she's going to be 12 this summer. You know, girls care about what they look like. And she gets judged on her appearance. And look, it's not ideal, but it's a sport. And sports come with inherent risks. And these girls are throwing, you know, essentially 7-pound weights up to the ceiling. And if you don't catch it, I've seen plenty of girls get whacked in the head. You know, my niece, she's a cheerleader. I watched her fall off the top of a pyramid a couple of weeks ago. And she got hurt. These things happen in every sport. And there's no getting around the fact that injuries happen. Now, again, you know, this whole thing with CTE, I don't want to take it lightly, but I've read quite a bit. And I am not of the belief that CTE can be traced back to kids that play youth football. Now, if you play youth football and that turns into high school football, that turns into college football, you know, maybe at that point after playing football for a decade and a half, and you've had a handful of concussions, maybe then you've got a problem. But the majority of kids that play flag football or play Pop Warner football, tackle football, they're not all going on to play more. And if they play in high school, great. But the majority of high school players don't go on to play in college. I just don't think that the state has a place when it comes to regulating what our children can and cannot do, what our children can and cannot play for sports. It just means that as parents, it's another parental decision that's been stripped away from us. As parents, it's another indication that the state of Massachusetts does not trust your decision, your ability to make the right decision for your family and for your kid. You know, that to me is the kick in the nuts here. It's that Massachusetts continues to tell us that we're a bunch of idiots and we need them to step in and make the right decisions. Where I think that if this continues to happen and we continue to have essentially tackle football as part of Pop Warner, right? And over the years, we continue to get more and more fact-based studies. Eventually, if it really is a danger, if it really is dangerous for kids to play this, and there is no denying those facts, well, then guess what's going to happen? Most parents will withhold their children from playing, and the sport will disappear naturally over time. But we don't need Massachusetts lawmakers stepping in right now telling me that my kid can't play Pop Warner tackle football because some lawmaker tells him so. And we don't need, you know, Alex Reamer, who does not have children, trying to tell parents how to parent. That, to me, is a kick in the nuts that I don't need. There's enough people out there with dissenting opinions. There's enough busybodies out there, you know, sort of spreading rumors and innuendo and getting involved in other people's business. That's what life is like these days. If you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. All these parents have nothing better to do than to get in everybody else's lives. It's worse than high school, being a parent these days. So you got to deal with that. I don't need to deal with people that don't have kids giving me advice on how to raise my kids. And I certainly don't need lawmakers that can't get anything right to begin with telling me how to raise my kids. That's my job. And as long as I'm paying for them, I should have the right to make that decision as a member of my family, with my kid, with my wife. We are the people that matter in that conversation. Some random Massachusetts lawmakers have no business in my living room. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Master IC. Master, you're up next here on WEEI.
Peace, Patrick.
Hey, brother.
Peace to the human family. I could get into the Celtics eventually.
Well, yeah. Do you really want to depress me some more tonight, man?
No, my point with the Celtics is like there is such a thing as a bad win. And if they would have won this game tonight, I think that would have qualified as that.
Yeah, but it would have been a win. And a win is a win right now. This is a team that they need something. They need something to go their way. I'm not a big body language guy. I think it's overrated. But watching this team's body language the last couple of games has been disturbing. It's been troubling. You know, they're all slouched over. They're yelling at each other. They don't seem to enjoy each other.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like there's a significance and a value to Kyrie not playing and them doing better. many people will say that they're not a better team without him, but at the same time, you know, the numbers are the numbers. So
yeah, they are. And it's weird. The numbers back it up from both accounts. So, you know, with Kyrie Irving on their floor, on the floor, the Celtics' numbers, the analytics, are better. But wins and losses-wise right now, I mean, when you look at even just the recent stretch of Playmaster, the two games that they won, they've lost 6 out of 8. So the two games that they won in the middle, no Kyrie Irving. And then tonight, each and every time the Celtics got back in this game, Kyrie was off the floor.
Right. What's the plus-minus regarding the results?
What, tonight? I had it up.
What I'm saying is that the idea of the plus-minus is not relevant when it comes to the results.
Well, yeah, so tonight, I mean, but it is in a sort of way when you look at these games now. Overall, their plus-minus and their win differential is better with Kyrie. I got you there. But tonight, you know, Kyrie, if you just look at the stat line, he had 31 points. So most people that look at the stats would say, okay, he was the best Celtic on the floor tonight. But the Celtics plus minus, they were a negative 10 with him on the floor tonight. Meanwhile, Gordon Hayward had 3 points, and they were a plus 13 when he was on the floor.
I agree with you in this respect that he shouldn't be the one, he should be the two. He should be the shooting guard. Doesn't matter what his height is, that's the role that he's better served in. With that being said, let's build towards the idea of the youth sports. I can agree with you in the sense that the government shouldn't get involved in the decisions that the parents make about their children. Yet, I feel like there's a value to them getting involved as long as they resolve that vacuum. In other words, if your concern is that these young children are having head injuries that are going to affect them in the future, then what are you doing to hold up? You know, what are you doing to counteract those head injuries? Are they medical? Are they mental? Are they spiritual? What are they? That's the only way that I can see the government getting involved. So as far as the personal decision, because I'm a parent of 3 and a half, as I say, with that being considered, we can't deny the research. We can't deny, you know, the numbers.
No, there is research out there that definitely tells you that these kids are at a higher risk later on in life if they play youth tackle football. There is research that says that.
Right, of course. So ultimately, it's up to that. The most important organ in the body, as far as I'm concerned, and this is going to lead to my second point. The most important organ in the body is not the heart, as far as life is concerned. It's the brain, because if the heart fails, then your life is over, and there's nothing you could do to change anything about what you lived. But if the heart is strong and the brain fails, then you're living a protracted life, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, I got you.
So I feel it's more important. I feel the importance. I feel there's a value in the argument of the importance of having the brain function properly, because I, as a youth, I played football, and I feel that whatever dingers I may have sustained were minor concussions, which have led me towards where I am right now and what I determine is confusion in my life.
But Matt, let me ask you this. You just made a clear, coherent point, and it's a point where if you feel that way and your kid or kids come to you and they say, hey, I want to play youth football, I want to play Pop Warner, guess what's going to happen? You're going to sit him down, you're going to sit her down, and whoever's involved in that decision-making process, as a family unit, you're going to have the privilege of making that decision, because that's your role as a dad. And that's my role as a dad. And I don't need Massachusetts lawmakers telling me, you know, what I can and cannot do in that regard when it comes to something like youth sports.
I'm with you. I agree with you, man. What
okay.
I'm saying is that there should be a counter. There should be a... This is what we're going to do. We're going to ban this, but this is what we're going to offer you. This is what we're going to amplify. Is that a word?
maybe you did take too many dingers, brother. I don't know.
All right, so here's my thing regarding my second point. My son, 7 years old, incredibly physical. He's strong. He's this. He's that. So because of that, All right, here's what I'm building towards. Your idea of toughening up your children, especially your sons, especially our sons.
Yep.
Because we are men and, you know, aggression, it's natural within us, you know. What I'm saying is, the idea of football isn't necessary in order to toughen up our children. There is my counterpoint to yours.
Sure.
I understand the whole idea of the value of football and teamwork and toughening our sons up. But there are other avenues towards that.
Of course, right? There are.
Okay, but, so then what I'm saying is, my contention then is...
That's a word, by the way. You got a word right there. That's a word.
My contention ultimately is, don't harp on the idea of football being so valuable. In order for us to build up the idea and the value of toughening our sons up and building on teamwork.
So I got to drop you because I'm up against it, Master. Look, I got you. And that's not my number one point here. My number one point all along has been, that's our decision to make as parents, as a family unit, and we shouldn't have that decision taken away from us. I don't need the state telling me that they know better what's best for my kids, because I can read, I can do the research, I can do it. I can get all the data myself. It's out there, it's available, and when it comes time in my family to make the decision for Connor, my son, guess what we're going to do? We're going to read the research, we're going to make an informed decision, we'll talk to other parents in our town, and we'll work it out, because we are intelligent, capable, and we're parents, and we love our kid, and it should be our decision to make. And to the texter that says that maybe I should move to New Hampshire and ride a motorcycle without a helmet, A, I did move to New Hampshire a few years ago. B, I'm considering buying a motorcycle, but I won't do it because I'm a parent to two young kids, and it's irresponsible of me to do it. And C, if and when I have my midlife crisis and I do buy it, I would never, ever, ever ride without a helmet, because I've got common sense, and I know the dangers, and I know the risks. Just like I do with football. But in some cases, it may be worth the risks. The reward may be worth the risks. And that's not up for the state of Massachusetts to determine. That's up for the parents to determine. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls, talking about the Celtics as they continue to fall apart, become more and more putrid with each and every loss, and continuing our conversation here on the value of youth football and tackling in youth football. All that and more at 617-779-7937.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
What'd you do?
It's a 32 belly option on 2-on-2. Ready?
All conference, bro.
It is Sports Radio. WEI, Joe's having fun back there. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And again, I continue to get these texts and some hits on Twitter of people thinking that I'm trying to be a tough guy. And if that's how I'm coming off, if that's how it's coming across, that is the last point that I'm trying to make. It's not about me, you know, trying to show that I'm tough or be a tough guy here. It's about me having a very hard time with government continuing to increase their role within our lives and reduce our ability to be parents. You know, the fact is this. Every time the government steps in like this, like they're trying to do in Massachusetts, by telling Massachusetts parents that your kids, it's against the law for them to play tackle football until they reach seventh grade. It's punishable by fines of up to $2,000. You know, that's crazy talk to me, but it is just another step in the direction where the government thinks that they are better parents than parents actually are. And it's just, it's incredible to me that all these states, the federal government, the state government, it's a mess. Like, they can't keep their money straight. All their laws are all over the place. Nobody can get any sort of agreement done on anything. It's all about, you know, it's all people trying to be partisan. It's a disgusting nightmare right now. And yet government, the big mess that we saw today with Cohen and with Trump and everything else, we're supposed to have enough faith in that entity. over the faith that we have and our ability to raise our children. That, to me, is just disgusting. And to me, there is no place in Massachusetts for Massachusetts lawmakers to tell you guys out there, the listeners, and me, the parent, you guys, the parent, how to raise our children. If you want to weigh the risk-reward factor and you decide as a parent, along with your wife or partner and kid that wants to play, your potential athlete, if you guys decide as a family group that the rewards outweigh the risks, then guess what? That should be your decision to make. And likewise, if you decide after a concussion, so to speak, let's say that your kid gets concussed or there's a close call, if you decide at that point that, you know what, enough, it's not worth the risk any longer, as a parent, you've got the right to take your kid out and to put your kid into another sport. We don't need the government telling us how to raise our children any more than they already are. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Mark. Mark's driving the snowplow. Mark, you next up here on WEEI.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Pat.
My pleasure, Mark.
I totally agree with you as far as the state getting involved and dictating as to what sports our kids can and cannot play. I think there's so many more issues on the table they can be dealing with.
Sure.
And I played Pop Warner, junior high school, college football. I played lacrosse, played basketball. And some of my worst injuries were from lacrosse and basketball. Broken nose in basketball. I did get concussed in lacrosse, because I know I did. And my children all played youth hockey, youth soccer. My daughter played collegiate lacrosse. And some of the worst hits I saw were on the women's lacrosse field with sticks to the head.
Yep.
I mean, it's a slippery slope.
Well, football grabs the headlines, Mark, but you're right. It is a slippery slope because once they step in and let's say they get this thing passed. So Massachusetts steps in and they make this thing a law. Guess what happens next? There'll be a study about lacrosse or about soccer or about hockey. And next thing you know, they're going to interfere with that game as well. And if you go down this road once, 20, 30 years from now, maybe there'll be no youth sports at all. Who knows?
Absolutely. And again, some of the hits that I saw my children take in soccer and hockey were some of the most vicious hits. I mean, hits to the quad as far as knee checks. You know, my youngest son had two surgeries to his shoulder for dislocated shoulders. So, again, it's a slippery slope. And I know the football CTE, you know, grabs the headlines and whatnot because of, you know, it's just more highlighted with people like Junior Seau. And you go back to the player from Denver.
The NFL players grab the headlines, and that's why it's terrifying. What happened to Junior Seau is flat out terrifying. What happened with Aaron Hernandez is terrifying. The fact is, we're talking about kids 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. It's a different animal altogether. Hey, listen, Mark, where are you plowing right now?
I'm over in the city of Newton, just waiting to see a little more snow drop and then get ready to drop my plow and get going.
So how is it out there? I got to drive from Boston here to Windham, New Hampshire. What am I looking at when I get out of here?
Well, right now, I mean, it's a steady snowfall, but it's light and fluffy. It's not really too bad out right now. And I would hope, for your sake, the highways would be well taken care of. I deal with more of the side streets, so...
Yep. Well, be safe out there, and I'll do my best to be safe as well. It's funny because, you know, normally snow doesn't bother me at all. But this year I feel like we haven't had much snow. There's no practice. And we're in our quote-unquote new studios here. We moved across the street a few months ago. We're legit in the basement of this building. There are no windows. I have no idea what's happening outside. If you spend enough time down here, you will lose complete track of the season, of the time of day. Like, we are buried in the basement here. Might as well be in prison. People think that being on the radio is like this glamorous life. There is nothing glamorous about our new studios here. It is Sports Radio WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, I see you guys on the line. When we come back for our final hour, I promise you, I've talked enough tonight. I'm just going to shut the hell up and get to all of your phone calls. It's an important discussion, an important topic. Stay on the line. I promise you, I'll get to you all, and we'll continue our discussion here, and we'll mix in some more Celtics thoughts as well, because I have lost hope. There is no hope left, in my opinion, for this edition of the Boston Celtics, and I've never said that before in 39 years of rooting for the Boston Celtics. This is now a hopeless remainder of the season. It is Sports Radio WEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.